This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
The presence of the Lord is definitely in this place. I know we hear that a lot when somebody's coming up here to preach. But when you feel the presence of the Lord, you know that His presence in this place. From prayer time through worship time, you could just feel His presence. And as Minister Grace said, if you missed it, He's still here. I feel so humbled to be here. I feel like the atmosphere has been set so high, and so I'm asking the Lord, I pray that this word that you have would truly minister to somebody today. I'm actually excited, and as she was announcing me to come up here, I was thinking of a song, and it's sung by Ephraim, and I don't really know the words, but it goes, to receive from you, Lord, to receive from you, I am excited to receive from you, a word from you, Lord, a word from you. I am excited to receive from you.
To receive from you, Lord. To receive from you. I am excited, oh Lord, to receive from you. From you, Lord, to receive from you, I am excited, oh Lord, to receive from you.
Your presence is here. Where two or more are gathered, you say that you are there in their midst, oh God. And so, Lord, we welcome your presence in this place today, oh God. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that your glory, Heavenly Father, will fill this place up today, oh God. Let your spirit move, Heavenly Father, and arrest our hearts, Heavenly Father. Open our capacity for you, Lord, so that we can receive from you today, Lord God Almighty. I pray, Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, that anyone who has come in here sick today, Jehovah, will leave healed as a result of this word, oh God. I pray that your word will pierce through your people, oh God Almighty, that they won't leave this place the same, oh God, but they will leave this place changed, renewed in you, oh Lord God. I pray, Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, that you use me as a mere vessel, Lord God Almighty. Use me as your vessel. Anoint these lips, oh God, to speak the word that you've prepared for your people today, Lord God Almighty. Father God, hide me behind the cross, oh God, and let your people receive this word, oh God. We give you worship. We give you honor. We give you all the glory, God, because all the glory belongs to you. Because you are God, because you are holy, because you are mighty, because there's none like you, Jehovah, because you alone are worthy to be praised, Jehovah God. We come here, Jehovah God, with hearts of gladness, Heavenly Father. We come here with hearts that are open, Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, pour in, oh God, pour into us, oh God, and have your way, oh God. Do what only you can do, Jehovah God. Have your way. I'll be reading today from a very familiar piece of scripture, and that is John 4. If you could give a title, it would be Thirst. If we could go to John 4, starting at verse 5. The word of the Lord reads, we'll read from verse 5 to 30. Verse 5, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for our salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came. They marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or what are you talking, why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out the city and came to him. Amen. As I said, today's topic is on thirst. And it was difficult trying to come up with how to minister this, because it's something that personally myself was struggling with. And so I decided, if I'm struggling with it, there's someone here as well that will be able to receive from this word, who might also be going through exactly what I was going through. But what is thirst? Thirst is a strong desire for something. You have a strong desire for something. It's a lack of liquid that's needed to sustain life. And we all have a sense of thirst in us. We all thirst for something. We thirst for physical things. We thirst for emotional things. We thirst for acceptance of friendships. We thirst for spiritual things. But what are you thirsting for? Among all these things that we have this innate sense of thirst, we all have it. But what is it that you're really thirsting for? And how are you quenching that thirst is the question that I have for everyone today. If we look at the book of Matthew 5:6, it says that, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied." However, if you look around us today, even though we have this word that gives us this comfort, that if we search and we thirst after righteousness, that we will be satisfied. But yet, if you look around, people are walking around this world, this country alone. Look at the nature of our country right now. People are walking around with souls that are hungry and hearts that are thirsting for something. And, you know, sometimes we don't realize that feeling, that innate feeling inside of us, could be the calling of the Holy Spirit calling us to draw closer to Him, because perhaps He has, not perhaps, but He does have something deeper for us that He wants for us to do for His glory. But we've come to this point where we ignore that feeling in us. We ignore the fact that this could be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's calling, drawing me closer and closer. We ignore that feeling. And in the end, we decide to go out and quench the thirst that we have, the feeling that we have of doing something deeper. We go out and we try to find other things to satisfy our thirst. We go out there and we say, "I want to go on this adventure. There's something in me. I want to do something exciting." And we relate it to the things of the world. And as I was reading on this word, I realized that this actually really has even a title. And the title was called meism. It's meism. We live in a society where people are self-centered. Especially with social media in our face, we live in a society where people are self-centered. Meism is a way of altering religion to fit a personal need. So you're not going to God for things. Yeah, you say you believe in God, but you're not going to God for things. You're going out there into the world to seek for yourself the satisfaction that you feel you are longing for. You're longing for self-gratification, self-fulfillment. It's all about what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. And just look at Facebook today. We all go on Facebook. The first thing we do is post a picture about ourselves. We could use it. We could use Facebook to glorify God. We could use it for things that are more meaningful to the kingdom of God. But we've turned it into a more self-gratifying screen where we go on and we post things about ourselves. And in the end, because we want to be satisfied and fulfilled, we're constantly looking, how many likes do I have? Did anybody check it? How many people checked it? WhatsApp is doing that too now. And we're constantly checking to see so that we can get fulfilled and we can feel that, you know, somebody likes me. That's a thirst for acceptance. We're constantly seeking, you know, but if you read Jeremiah 2, if you could turn there with me, you read Jeremiah 2, 11 to 13. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory for what does not profit? Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hung themselves citrons, broken citrons, that can hold no water. These citrons are the things that I'm talking about, where you go out and, like I said, you go out on Facebook, or people that are, you know, there's people in the world today, you see mass shootings are going on. These are people that are longing for something. And in their longing for something, they went out and tried to fulfill whatever it is that they were feeling. And when it didn't work out, they got upset and they resented whatever it is that was supposed to fulfill their thirst, their hunger, their yearning, and it didn't fulfill. And so they get upset, and you see people turning now into killing people. You see people turning and just really killings are just at a mass rate now because people are not turning to God. They're not turning to God, but in the end, they're turning to things of the world that are not satisfying them. They're turning and taking up broken citrons that cannot hold the water that can fulfill us. Instead, as they go back for more and more, and the more we want, the more we get, the more we want, and it never, never, never satisfies us. But why do we do this? Because we thirst after the wrong things. We could even use a biblical example. Let's look at Sarah in the Bible. Sarah and Abraham were promised a child. They were promised a child, and they waited and waited. And just like us, when God promises us something, then because the waiting process is so much longer than we want it to be, and they began to waver in their faith. They began to waver in their faith, and as they wavered in their faith, what did they do? They pulled up a broken citron, and that was called Hagar. They decided to do things in their own might. They decided, we're going to have a baby. We're going to help Jesus. We're going to help God out, and we're just going to go ahead and have a baby on our own. So they went ahead and had this baby. But what happened? Sarah grew resentful. She wasn't satisfied. What she wanted was there. The baby was growing. The baby was there, but she grew resentful. When you don't put God in the equation, it won't work out. She grew resentful. She didn't want Hagar around. She didn't want the baby around, but she grew resentful. And these are the things that we do. We do. We seek, we want to bring God in when things are not going right. We don't include him in the equation. We want love. We go out there and we'll do anything for love. We even go out there and you know that I shouldn't be marrying this woman, but you're going to go ahead and marry her because you just want love. I shouldn't marry this man, but you go ahead because you just want love. I shouldn't take this job. It's not the right job for me, but you go ahead because you just want a job. But when things don't work out, is then we begin to cry out for God and bring God into the picture. Does that sound, I mean, what Sarah went through, that is so similar to what we go through every day. How many promises has God given us? The promises of God are in abundance. There's so many. He's promised us his undying love, his undying everlasting love, but yet we thirst and thirst for love. There's some of us that cannot stay without a man. We're after one man from another. No one has ever seen us alone because we want to feel fulfilled, and so we want to be with the woman, want to be with the man for love, just to feel that satisfaction. But God has promised us of his undying everlasting love, but we don't embrace it. We go out and we get these broken citrons and filling them up with what's not satisfying us. Hasn't God promised us that if you seek his kingdom first and righteousness, that all these things that we want will be given unto us? Has he not promised us these things? But no, what do? We want to go out there and we're rushing for jobs. You know, he'll bless us. God will bless us with a job. But then even with that blessing, you still want to go out and put more hours because this blessing that God gave me is not enough. I have a couple of hours here, so I'll get another job. As opposed to saying to yourself, I've been blessed with this job. It is fulfilling my needs. I can pay for everything that I need, my home, my kids, everything, my clothes, because the Lord has already promised me that he can supply for everything else. But what do we do with the extra hours we have? We take those hours and say, I need another job. And we go out and we add on more, taking time away from being with the Lord. He blessed you with a job. That job was enough for you. To say these are the hours that you will work and the rest of the hours that you have, you can give them on to me because I have something special for you that I want to pour in you, that I want you to do for me. But we don't take that. We're so concerned about these citrons that we have and pouring in and trying to be satisfied when none of it brings us satisfaction. The more money that you have, the more bills that you have. You will never have enough. You will never have enough. God has promised us that he will never leave nor forsake us, that he's the peace in our midst. But you go around people living with fear. You constantly have fear. The Lord says, do not fear, but we have this fear in us. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but it's just a reminder of where we are as Christians, how we're functioning as Christians. There's so many promises that the Lord has given us, but we don't adhere to these promises. He says, do not have fear. I'll never leave or forsake you. I'll be with you. Even when you walk through the waters, even when you go through the darkness, I'll be there with you. But today, people, anything just goes wrong and you're seeking medication to bring peace into your life. Your children are behaving strangely. Maybe they're ADHD, hyperactive, and we run to doctors to give them medication to bring peace into their lives, to calm them down, as opposed to coming before the Lord, coming to this altar right here and praying to the Lord and asking the Lord to bring peace into their lives because, Lord, you've promised us peace, so bring peace into my child's life. Bring peace into my home. But we go out there to seek these things that never bring us satisfaction. Resentment comes forth. Why do we forsake the Lord? When you read verse 10 of the same scripture, John 4:10. When you read John 4:10, Jesus says three profound things here. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink. If you knew the gift of God. If you knew the gift of God. Romans 6:23 tells us that eternal life is a gift given unto us through Jesus. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave whom? He gave us his son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Eternal life being that gift, Jesus Christ being that gift. I believe I'm standing in front of people that have already received this gift, that are children of Christ, that are children that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we act like we have not received this gift. If you read John 7:37-39, tells us that if any man thirst, let him come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. That if he believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This is information that we know, but we don't seek it. He says, come unto me. There's an invitation that Christ has given us. Come unto me. But we don't take it because what's out there seems more satisfying than what God is promising us. A couple of weeks ago, I was here on a prayer night, on a Tuesday night with Pastor Kirabo, and we were praying. And in our prayer, we were praying for unity for the church and just for everybody, the body of Christ. And as we were praying, I got this vision right here. And there was a lot of crosses all across here. And we prayed and prayed. And the more we intensified in our prayer, the crosses all of a sudden just fell. The crosses just fell. I didn't know what to make of it. But I prayed over it, but I really didn't know what to make of it. And just recently, we had prayer night for leaders. And while we were here praying, Pastor Judy said, when we were done praying, she said, if anybody has anything to say that the Lord has revealed to them, please say it. And I was struggling with something. I didn't know how to explain it. But like she said, she pointed at me and said, I know Minister Shala probably has something, and she'll go home and tell Pastor Muna. Which I did, because I honestly didn't know. But that day when we were praying, I saw right in this area here, like what looked like a beautiful waterfall or well. And it was the clearest water. And I told Pastor Moon, I said, you know, this is what I saw. And so we began to pray about the crosses falling and that waterfall. Now, this vision might not be for Agape alone. It could be for the whole body of Christ. But regardless if it's for the body of Christ, we are a part of the body of Christ, so it is for us too. And what we understood from that is the Lord wants us to pick up our crosses, drop those citrons that we're going after, and instead go to the well, go draw from the well. He is here. And it's evident from that today. We saw that today. We felt that today. His presence is here flowing in us. When you feel something like that, when you experience something like that, be serious about it. Hold on to it. You know, move with it when you move out of this place, because the rivers are running in this place. The Lord showed it to me. I believe it with all my heart that the Lord is saying, put down these things that you're worshiping. Put them down, but pick up the cross, draw from my well, and I will give you everything that you need. Do not come here as a Christian just to come here. What are you here for? Are you here for the things that God gives, or are you here for the giver of those things? Who are you worshiping? Is what God is telling us. I had never seen something like that. And sometimes I don't, you know, you have to really sit when God shows you something. Pray over it. Ask God, what is it? And it kept coming over and over and over. And I know that the Lord is in here, as we call this place the oasis. And indeed, I saw the oasis. And we need to draw from that. We need to draw from that. You have to ask yourselves, with God giving us that vision of that living waters, and if you know that you're not drawing from there, but you are a Christian, then ask yourself, what kind of living waters are flowing through me? What kind of living waters are flowing through me? Because if it is filth, like he did for the woman here in verse 16 to 18, he asked of her, where is your husband? There's a reason why he asked of her. In order to receive the living waters, or in order for the living waters that rest upon you, the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, to begin to flow, to begin to move, you have to rid yourselves of all these sinful things that are in your life. You have to rid yourself of all these things. He asked her about her husband. He asked her, and she told the truth, because you have to let the Lord open you up, release what is not of the Lord, so that the Holy Spirit can begin to move in your life. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, as we say. He's not going to force himself upon you. If you want to keep holding on to those broken citrons that are consistently leaking, you go ahead. But life only becomes tougher. But the Lord says, come on to me. Drink. Drink from me. Drink from me. Amen. He says, drink from me. You have to ask yourself, am I experiencing a flood of the living waters flowing through me? Or is my spiritual faucet dripping? You know, because we're all Christians in this place, but, you know, are we dripping? Because the Lord says that out of the belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But we behave as if it's just dripping. In our workplaces, we've heard this example so many times. How often do we do we share the word? Anywhere that we are, how often do we take up that opportunity to just say, I'm going to share the word. I'm going to share the word. But we take the things of the Lord so lightly. It's almost like we take the word of God just for ourselves. But the Lord is pouring into you. The Lord is pouring into me so that we can be able to pour out onto someone else. Is your spiritual water, is it just dripping or is it flowing? We need to ask ourselves that. How effective am I outside of the walls of this church? Is church just a part of something on my checklist to say that I went to church? Am I coming to church because my husband comes to church or my wife comes to church or because my kids need to come to church? Is your spiritual waters flowing or is it dripping? That is a question that we need to ask ourselves. It is a serious question that we need to ask ourselves because you cannot flow, you cannot move in the things of the Lord if you're dripping. The Lord didn't say that out of the belly shall drip. He said it will flow. That flow that I saw is the flow that the Lord wants each and every one of us to have. Hallelujah. Ask yourself, how am I allowing the experiences of my life to be experiences that are led by the Holy Spirit? We all experience things in life, but how many of those experiences are experiences that are led by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is here as our comforter. He's our guide. So everything that you do should be led, should be guided by the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit leading you in your life right now? When you're thinking about doing something, are you saying to yourself, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to do here? How am I going to make it work? Are you calling upon the glory of the Lord? Are you depending on His grace that we learned about last week? Are we doing these things? Are we doing these things? You have to ask yourself, and everything that you do in life should be an experience that you know that the Lord will be glorified from it. Don't even minimize the thing. Doesn't matter what it is. My husband and I recently traveled, and in our travels, I remember we were saying, we haven't seen our family in 20, 15 years. We haven't seen our family, but yet, the top of our mind was, what can we do on this trip to glorify God? What can we do to glorify God? And the more we asked, the more we thirsted for this, we asked God. He opened up doors for us to be able to be of a blessing to children, to a woman that's struggling to take care of over 100 children. But we were a blessing to be able to go there and to be able to pray. You don't need the money. You could just be a blessing, just your presence, to just be there and pray with these people and have a relationship with them that's an ongoing relationship. Because why? The Holy Spirit is the one that's guiding you. The Holy Spirit is the one that's guiding you. I remember speaking to this woman and the kids and all of them. I said, you know, we don't have any material things to offer you, but we have the Lord to offer you. We have the Word to offer you. And it was a beautiful time just singing and worshiping. Are your experiences led by the Holy Spirit? Ask yourselves. Are your experiences led by the Holy Spirit? Or are you so excited about the things of this world that you don't even think about what is the Holy Spirit? How is the Holy Spirit using me? Ask yourselves these questions. I'm not going to be too long because everything I'm telling you, I know that you already know. But you need that thing to be rekindled in you. To understand that church is not a place that we come to for a fashion show. It's not a place that we come to just to, yes, we need to fellowship, but it's not a place that we come to just so that we can gossip and we can talk to our friends. That's not the thing that we come here to do. We come here to fellowship, yes, but with the Holy Spirit. We come here to receive from the Holy Spirit. We come here so that when we go out there, we can be a difference. We can pour out to people. Stop taking church as a checklist. That's not what it is. That is not what it is. The Lord needs us. As He needed Jesus Christ, He now needs us. We are little gods left on this earth. The Lord needs us. Stop thinking that your clothes is what that you're going to worship. Stop thinking that your cars is what you, you know, is what's going to bring you gratification. Your big homes. No. There's greater things out here. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Souls are lost out there. You've declared yourself a child of the living God. So that means you have an assignment. You have a job. Don't waste your time. Receive the living waters. Drink from his well. Receive it. Get yourself filled up. Go out, pour out, come back, get filled, and let it keep happening. Let it keep happening. Let it keep happening. How do we you know, thirst after God? How can we thirst after God? Well, we need to cry out. We need to pray. Sounds simple, right? It sounds really simple. But we fail to pray. We fail to even come for prayer night. We convince ourselves that I'm praying in my house, and that's okay. But there's a difference. There's a difference. I believe that I would have not saw those two visions on my own. But there's something about coming together and praying with other believers. Make that time in your life. Make that time. Stop saying that, well, they're there. They're there. They're getting their blessing. Indeed, they're there. They're getting their blessing. Where are you? Where are you? You know, Psalms 42. We all know Psalms 32. As a deer panteth for the waters, so does my soul long for you. I thirst and I hunger for you. We say that repeatedly. We say that repeatedly. I remember when I first came into the Word, I would just say it because everybody said it. And I would say it because, you know, I said, okay, I long for the Lord. But have you ever thought, what does it really mean when a deer panteth for the waters? Have you ever thought, what does a deer look like, feel like when it pants? What is to pant? What is to pant? You know, I had to look into it. A deer, you know, when we are hot, we sweat. And that's like a cooling system for us. We sweat. When a deer is hot, it doesn't have the sweat glands that would provide a cooling system for it. So it is burning up inside. It is burning up inside. And its cooling system is, and that takes the effort of the heart. The heart is panting. It is panting after the waters. Now, when David used that analogy, that scenario, that is how your heart should pant for God. You should pant for God like you are losing your breath, like you are losing your life, like in that moment you need him. You are panting for the Lord. You are yearning for the Lord. He says, as my soul thirsts for you, Lord. My soul is thirsting for you. Understand the scriptures the way they're written. Don't read them for just the way they are. Dig deeper into finding out what is to pant. What is to pant? It is hot inside. You are burning with the consuming fire inside of you. You are burning. And you can only let it out if you go over to the Lord, because you are burning inside and you want to let it out. You want to let it out. You want to let it out if only you allow the Holy Spirit in. But you can't do it if you're so stuck on these broken centrons. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. As you cry out, you know, as you cry out when you're thirsting for God, as you cry out for the Lord, I'm praying for myself and I'm praying for you that the Lord can open your eyes so that you can clearly see the well for yourself, and so that you can go there, not with a broken centrum, but with your own water pot as the woman at the well, and draw from the well of salvation. I'm praying that the Lord can open your eyes as he did for Hagar. Remember, we talked about Sarah not being satisfied with what the Lord had done for her. In her dissatisfaction, sending Hagar away, Hagar was crying out to the Lord because she didn't know what her child would whether her child would live or not. She cried out to the Lord, but the angel of the Lord heard her. And what did the angel of the Lord do? He spoke to her, and what did he do? He opened her eyes, and what did she see? She saw the well. She saw the water. She drew from that water. She took that water and brought life into her child. Draw that from that water and let that water bring life into you. Let that water bring life into you. Let the Lord open you up. Open your eyes so that you can see, so that you can pour out into other people. Don't be comfortable with where you are. Don't be comfortable with life the way that it is. Don't depend on your leaders, that your leaders are the ones that are praying for you. Your leaders are the ones that are leading everything in the church. Each and every one of us here is the church. Amen. Each and every one of us here has a job to do in the church. We are a walking church. We take the church with us everywhere that we go. We are the church. I pray that you adhere to this calling. I truly do pray. Because the Lord, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We are grieving the Holy Spirit with the way that we're living life. It is not right. In fact, sometimes I believe that it's almost like we're making a fool out of the Holy Spirit, out of God. But why? Why would we do that? Why would we do that to the Holy Spirit? Why would we do that to God? If you read Romans 10:14, Paul says, how will they hear if they don't have a preacher? Like I said, we are the preachers. There's people out there that need us, that need us, that are in need of this word. Once you've received the Holy Spirit, you are empowered. The word in you will empower you to convince somebody, to convict somebody, to convert somebody with the word. Look at Paul and Silas when they were in the jail. When the jail doors broke, the guard said to them, he was scared. But then when they told him that we're all here, what did he say to them? He said, how can I, you know, receive this God? How can I? They preached the word to this guard. And what happened to this guard? He was convicted. He was converted. He was convinced of this word, and his family was too. There is power when you give yourself unto the Lord. There is power when you draw from the living waters. There is power, but you have to draw from it. You have to draw from it. This Samaritan woman at the end of the scripture went out. What did she do? She went out and she preached the word. She went out and faced the very thing that was her citron. She faced it. And what did she do? She preached to it. And what happened to those people? They went to the Lord. They decided that they were going to know the Lord for themselves. So I'm praying that as we leave this place, our aim is that every time we pour into somebody, we will cause them to have a hunger and a thirst so that they can seek God for themselves. That's the job that we have. That's the job that we were left here to finish. That is the job that we were left here to finish. You have to worship God. That's another way of, you know, quenching your thirst. Worship him. Worship him in spirit, as the word says. Worship him in truth, as the word says. God is spirit. He is the truth, the way. You have to worship him. We heard that today if you were here for prayer. Excuse me. Amen. If you were here for prayer, Pastor Judy prayed that she had a word for somebody, that we need to learn to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We have to learn how to worship the Lord in any circumstance. Worship the Lord with your testimony. I was thinking the other day, I said, when was the last time I gave a testimony? This was for me. I don't know. Maybe you give a testimony every day. But I said, when was the last time I gave a testimony? I don't know when was the last time I heard a testimony in here. We behave as if God hasn't done anything for us. Yet we are awake every day. We are clothed every day. We are eating every day. We have to learn how to worship the Lord with our testimonies. And a testimony doesn't only have to be that God did something miraculous in my life. Yes, that's great. God can do something miraculous in your life. But what about just saying that, you know what? Yes, my mother is sick, but but she's alive. That's a testimony. But she's still alive right now. But you're waiting until this complete, total healing. Yes, we wait for that. But that's the only time you want to worship God. That's the only time you want to give your testimony. Give unto him your testimony, even when things seem bleak. Give him that worship. Even when it seems bleak, worship him. Yeah, I don't have the job that I'm looking for, but I have something to give me food. I have something that pays my bills. Yeah, my marriage isn't that great, but I still have my wife. I still have my husband, and we're working on it. Yeah, my kids are not listening to me, but I'm working on them. I'm bringing them to church. The Lord is working on them. You have to encourage yourself, tell yourself, worship God in all situations, in everything, in all circumstances. The example of Paul and Silas again, when they were in the jail, what did they do? They were beaten, they were jailed, but what did? They worshiped God. In the toughest of circumstances, they worshiped God. God came through for them. Worship God. Whatever the situation is, worship him in that situation and be amazed at what God would do. And as you worship God, he will open your ears to hear the things that the ear has never heard, nor that the eye has ever seen. Things that he only saves for true worshipers, true believers. This is what the Lord would do for you. But if you're waiting on that centrum, that broken, dripping centrum to be filled up, you will wait forever. You will wait forever. You will draw yourself into misery. If you're not already there, you will draw yourself into misery. We have to stay focused on the Lord. Stay focused on the Lord. Have you ever realized that in Scripture, the dove is used to symbolize the Holy Spirit? The dove is used to symbolize the Holy Spirit. And so I was listening to a song the other day, and it said, "Give me the eye of a dove." And I said, "What does that mean?" And I researched again. Again, when you read Scripture, it was written for that time when certain things were going on in that time. It applies to us today, but see how it applies today. Dig in. Try to find out. How does it apply today? And I thought, why would somebody want an eye of a dove? So I looked in, and a dove, it says, has singular focus due to the narrow shape of its head. So we can only focus on one thing at a time. A dove can only focus on one thing at a time. If a dove turns this way, it has already lost focus of what was here, and now it's focused on this. So you need to have the dove of an eye. Focus on the Lord. Stay on the Lord until you have reached that target, until you are dwelling with the Lord. Do not take your eyes off him. Keep your eye on him. Keep your eye on the Lord. The Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit in us, which is so beautiful, the Holy Spirit in us only has one point of focus, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit only has one point of focus, and that's Jesus Christ. So if you remember when Jesus was being baptized, what came? There was a dove. Have an eye of a dove. Stay focused on God. Stay focused on the Lord. Keep your eye on him and only him. And last but not least, when we read Matthew 11, oh, they're gone, okay. When we read Matthew 11, I'll just kind of explain that. When we read Matthew 11, 28, 30, it tells us that take up my yoke. And again, I thought, Matthew 11, we can read that. Matthew 11, 28. To 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke. You ever thought of what it means to be yoked to something? What it means to be yoked to something? You are tied to something. When they're training animals, they yoke them to an animal that's more experienced, an older one, one that's more experienced, so that it could train the younger one, the least experienced one. Wherever the older one goes, the younger one has to follow. If the young, you know, the least experienced one goes out of its way, it will be pulled back. And that's the life that we need to have with Christ. Be yoked with Christ. Stay at his feet. Be at his feet, so that whenever you want to gear off into things that you want, the things of the world, the Lord will remind you. That indwelling presence of the Lord in you, the Holy Spirit in you, will remind you that you're going off course and that you need to stay this way. That you need to stay this way. Stay yoked with the Lord. Stay yoked with him. According to scripture, that is what the Lord wants from us. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit would conform you, will mold you into his image, to be more like him. That should be your longing. That should be your longing. Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. I'm thirsting for you. I'm hungry for you. I want to be more like you. Stay at his feet. And as I end, I ask you to remember that as we thirst, Christ also thirst. Christ also thirst. He was beaten. He was bruised. He went through so much just for us. He went through so much just for us. One of the last words he said after all was said and done was, "I thirst." The Lord thirst so that we don't have to thirst no more. There was a divine exchange on that cross. He took everything that we are in exchange for who he is. But yet we crave the Holy Spirit. But yet we ignore what the Holy Spirit is saying. Set your life straight. I don't know who I'm speaking to here. Set your life straight. Don't take messages after messages as just messages. One of these messages is piercing through someone. This message is piercing through someone. Are you quenching from the right well? Are you quenching from the right well? Are you quenching from the right well? Pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we give you honor. We glorify your name, O God. We exalt your holy name, Heavenly Father, for you are worthy of our praises, Lord God Almighty. For there's no God like you, Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. We come before you, Heavenly Father, saying thank you for this word, O God. But Lord, we also ask, Father God, that you forgive us, Heavenly Father, for looking out for the things of this world, Heavenly Father, for not quenching from your well, Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. We pray, Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, that from this point on, Jehovah God, that we will take our buckets, Heavenly Father, and that we will draw from your well, the well of salvation, Lord God Almighty. We pray, Jehovah God Almighty, that we would adhere to your promises, Jehovah God, because you are God and you are God above all other things, Jehovah God. You're the Lord of Lords, Jehovah. You're the God that gives us peace, oh God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the God that provides for us, oh God, the God that gives us the understanding, Heavenly Father, that we need to go through the things of this world, Heavenly Father. Father, there's no God like you. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you open our eyes, Heavenly Father, then open our ears, Lord, so that we can hear, we can see your loving kindness every single day, Father God. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you cause us to know your ways, Father God. Let us know your ways, for your ways are good, Heavenly Father. We ask that you teach us your will, Father God, because we trust you, Heavenly Father. We commit ourselves unto you, Jehovah God. Father, Lord God Almighty, in this moment, Father God, we strip ourselves of everything, Heavenly Father. Yes, Lord God Almighty, We need you and you alone, Jehovah God. As the deer panteth for the waters, Jehovah God, teach us how to pant for you, Heavenly Father. Lord God Almighty, we hunger, Father. We thirst for you, God. And now, Lord God Almighty, we pray, Jehovah God, that it be only you that we quench from, Heavenly Father, because you're worthy, Jehovah, because you are God. You are mighty. There's none like you, Jehovah God. Great are the things that you do, Jehovah God, but none compares to you, oh God. You are worthy, mighty God. Have your way, Jehovah, in our lives, God. Holy Spirit, move in this place right now, Jehovah God. Let your spirit, Heavenly Father, Lord, rest our hearts, Heavenly Father. Open us up, Heavenly Father. Expand us, Lord, so that we can have more of you in us, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we hunger for you, Lord. Quench our thirst. Fill us up, Heavenly Father. Cause there to be an overflow of your presence in our lives, Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, breathe over our families, Father God. Breathe over our homes, Father God. Breathe over our marriages, Father God. Breathe over this church, Father God. Let this church pick up our crosses, Father God, so that we can, Heavenly Father, quench from you, oh Heavenly Father. Have your way in the name of Jesus, Father God. You're the great I am, Jehovah God. You're the I am that I am, Jehovah God. There's none like you, Jehovah God. All honor and glory are due unto you, Jehovah God. We bow at your feet, Jehovah God, because you are God, Jehovah God. We enthrone you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in us, Father God. Have your way in us, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.